shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we welcome your spirit in our midst tonight because you have a welcoming, sweet spirit. You are forgiving, kind, and lovely, Lord, and we pray that we may have that spirit in our hearts, not just amongst us, and worship you and glorify your great and holy name, especially, Lord, through the ministry of the word, which we know this is where you have manifested yourself, declared yourself, and proven it is you yourself who is in our midst, even your mighty spirit, because you are spirit. And one day, as the prophet said, when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for that. That we have this opportunity, certainly there'll be some standing here who shall not taste death as far as we can really see the truth, Lord, at this time that things have just about all run out and there should be even people here. We know different parts of the world standing to see your grace and your glory in the final hours here upon this earth. Man glorified here to be taken away to the wedding supper and then brought back to his inheritance. So may we have your grace and mercy shine upon us tonight, Lord, into our hearts, down into our souls, that we study the word and see the truth of the hour and be very serious in understanding and walking in the light as you're in the light, having fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us from all sin, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're coming right along on this message. I guess there's, 50 pages or so, or 40, 50-some pages, and we've done very valiantly. We got as far as page 12, and we seem to be kind of stuck there, but that's certainly all right, because we want to take everything as slowly as we can and get as much good as we can out of the things that Brother Branham says. It's just the same as going into the Bible and finding you can never ever drain it of its substance and its meaning and its the breadth of its power in our lives. Now, I'm going to go back over our notes from the last time we were together here. And I see the discrepancy in Brother Branham in taking Matthew 13 on the mystery of the wheat and tares lays out clearly that the tares are serpent seed that came into existence by Eve and the serpent, and the wheat are the seed of God through Eve and Adam. And science has proven that to be correct, for it is now scientifically known that the human race, so-called, has one mother and two fathers, of which one father has sired over 99.90% or 99% of the people today on the face of the earth. And we know Brother Branham cut that even smaller than that. It would be, according to science, 0.1%, but I think Brother Branham went far beyond that. And in paragraph 65 on page 12, Brother Branham calls the serpent seed children of disobedience. And that's where we went last week, particularly to see what that word really meant and why that is used by the Apostle Paul, which Brother Branham himself used. Now, the word disobedient or disobedience or disobedient we found was very worthy to look into. But before we went into the root words, we note into the Greek, we noticed that it says children of disobedience. So therefore, disobedience is a person. And that as a person, he is a father. So we find the word children of disobedience is actually not only a person, but the actual intrinsicality of the person, his very nature. And the children he sired are those of actual disobedience. Now, looking at the word disobedience, we find in the over here, if we are looking at, let's see, First Thessalonians 5 and 5, just to get a quick little look at that, it says, "Ye are the children of light, and then the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." So now you'll notice in there that the children of disobedience are also called the children of darkness, because you only have two groups of people. One the children of God and one the children of Satan. And then, of course, over in 1 John 1 and 7, we looked at that. And we found that it said, "But if we walk in the light, we have, and as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And you notice in there it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. So you have the God himself is all light. In him is no darkness. And of course then his children are all light also intrinsically as to the soul. But of course that soul is born into a physical body whereby we are tested. And we have the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us as far as the flesh is concerned. Now, it couldn't cleanse the spirit. Because if the spirit is a part of God, what would the blood of Jesus Christ be doing in trying to cleanse the spirit of God? It wouldn't do that. It's a matter of fact that the blood was shed because of the sins that were committed in the body. And you'll notice in there positively, Paul himself, I think it is, mentions that all sin is without the body, and there is only one sin that is really against the body. In other words, you can pin it down, you can steal, well, that doesn't mean too much, and you can murder somebody, and you can lie and do cheat and everything else. But it says in there that sinning against the body comes by adultery. And so you can see right here, if you take that statement alone, you've got to go back to the Garden of Eden, and you'll see right there that it was adultery. It has to be, because the shedding of the blood and the Holy Spirit coming is the guarantee of the resurrection. And so you don't find then, you'll find then rather, as Brother Branham said, you didn't do it in the first place. See, you put these things together and you realize that, as John himself said, the apostle of love, that which is born of God cannot sin. It's impossible. Simply cannot do it. There's no way that could be chargeable. And also over in, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, just wanting you to see these appellations here are giving you something to think about in the sense of the intrinsicality, essentiality of the sire and those that are sired. And so if you're going to look at light, God is light, he's going to have children light. And if Satan is darkness, he's going to have children of darkness. And so all down the line, you'll find that even with God, God is completely obedient to his own word. He stands behind his word to perform it. And God is absolutely circumvented or bound by his own word. You know, people have an idea that God is unbounded. That is the most foolish thing in all the world. God is bounded by his own Godheadedness, and his own name that he gave himself was El Elah, or Elohim, which originally means the strong one bound by an oath. So God is bound. He's bound by his own word. And then if he's the word, then his children are word. So that's what I'm trying to show you here. Why, when you look at the word children of disobedience, you say disobedience is an act. No, disobedience is also a person. See, light is a noun. It's also a person. Obedience is a person, not just a word or a noun, or you could even adjective. It doesn't matter what you're looking at. If you say you are all light, you think, well, right away, that's an adjective. It's describing you. No, it's not describing you as though you're all light, as though you have something in there that, you know, that you're sort of producing. It's not that at all. We're looking at intrinsicality. We're looking at species following species. We're looking at children following fathers, okay? So that's what I wanted to bring out last week, and I think I did a fairly good job on it. But we want to look at it even closer tonight and not take so much time on it. Now, the word then in the Greek is disbelieving, obstinate, rebellious. Actually portrays one as apart or separated from the truth. When confronted with it, he is in a state of denial and rejection and rebellion that leads to attempts to destroy the truth or turn it into a lie. So, now, I got that definition by looking at the Greek and by studying my Bible. And it's not hard to take everything I've said and take it right into Scripture. And you can take it right back to the beginning. And when you see the source, you know at the end time there's a multiplication of the source through progeny. God took Adam and Eve. Part was creation, part was not creation. The soul was not created. It was Holy Spirit Himself. And He said, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. Now notice, the source was God placed in Jesus, because we are in, specifically the Bible says we are in Him, which is Jesus. Now thirdly, you're into Adam. And Adam in the flesh with Eve became the parents of every single child of God. There's only one that's different, that's Jesus Christ the righteous. And He was formed from God Himself. Brother Brand talked about that light. There's nothing there to form from, and form means you're taking something already there, or you can't form it. So what was there was only God Himself, and nothing to form from outside of God. And so Brother Branham said God gave birth. And Jesus Himself said so. He said, I came from God. That means to issue forth from God, and birth means to issue forth from. So, and He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light. So you see, these actual words go deeper than merely a description. It's the real thing. And without the description, you wouldn't understand the truth of the real thing. So the definition there is not just startling, it is very, very well defined. All right, this is not merely someone rejecting a philosophy. Well, that's a good one right there. Everybody talks about being right, but who's right? This is not someone rejecting a philosophy, but evidently one who has put aside or denied vindicated truth. That it is vindicated truth that has been rejected is evident, for there is no reason for a person to believe what someone purports to be a life and death matter, or the axiomatic principles of life, unless it is established by vindication to be so. So Joe Smith comes along and says, I met an angel. And he dug a hole in the ground and he pulled out these plates. And one fellow said, my God, Lee, if an angel pulled those gold plates out, you ever seen the Book of Mormon and all the books that's supposed to be written? He said, it would take a wagon to load up the little thin plates to haul them to the temple. Joe Smith and his stupid vision. Now, I don't doubt there was an angel. Paul says there could be angels bringing you a false gospel. They haven't got a leg to stand on. If the prophet were here, he'd have to admit everyone is dead. Well, that's just one or two seed there. How many seed do you believe is amongst the Mohammedans and Muslims right today when they are children of through Hagar, Ishmael? Oh, come on. I mean, hey, let your thinking go. Don't be so confined with little thoughts here unless you might offend somebody. Ha! One fellow said, if you haven't made mistakes, you never made anything. And I say, if you don't offend somebody, there's something wrong with you somewhere. You say, well, Paul said not to offend. When it comes to the word of truth, you will not necessarily of yourself offend anybody, but you will be offensive to them because you are the truth. If He is the truth, we are the truth. If He is the light, we are the light. See? Now, you can't carry everything too far. Like Brother Branham said, healing lies within you, but don't carry it too far. In other words, stay with the word of God the way it is. So let's stay with the Word of God the way it is. There would have to be some type of vindication there. So let's just take a look at these children of darkness here, these children of the devil, these children of disobedience. And we did look at that the other day, and we found in Galatians the second chapter, and we saw in the second verse, it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, number one, according to the prince of the power of the air, number two, the spirit that now worketh, number three, where? in the children of disobedience. So these little monsters have a great effect upon us. Because until we're born again, there's no difference between the sheep and the goat. But one is a sheep and one is a goat. Now, you got to reduce that to sperm. When you reduce it to sperm, you got to put it under a microscope. It'd be a pretty smart guy, I suppose, who could figure out a sheep sperm from a goat sperm. But it can't be done. So, spermatically speaking, that word is legitimate. Then physically speaking, ain't no difference. Even as the scripture said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Fallen short. So he's saying here, now watch what I read to you. Number one, these dead in trespasses and sins that he quickened. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world. And the course of this world is the enemy of God. Well, he said, good night. Everybody's doing, what am I supposed to do? I'm stuck, you're not stuck. Because if you're that eagle in the chicken pen, when the eagle screams, you'll rise, you'll get out of the chicken run. According to the prince of the power of the air. So therefore the flesh, which was prone to a certain course, is under the direct dominion of a very illegitimate, rotten individual. And he's called the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So therefore, you were not a child of his. But you are like his children. And some far worse. Sure. All right. The children of disobedience then are rebellious. Go back to the beginning. No vindicated truth. K-N-O-W. Vindicated truth. But oppose it. An attempt to destroy it. Even turn it into a lie. Now, you're following me, aren't you? Everything I've been saying, you can click, click, click like this in your mind. You go to Scripture, right? Garden of Eden, back and forth, right? Not right? I'm going home. I wasted all these years with you people here. You're really wonderful, lovely people, but my God, you're dumb. Seriously speaking, you are leaving me out here on a limb. Now, is it right, though, you're really catching what I'm saying and your minds are clicking into where it should go? No. When I'm 81 years old, and I can't be here too much longer. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and the 6th verse, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, but, now let's take a little peek over here in a hurry. I missed this one, but it struck my mind now. Did it strike your mind? All right. Now listen carefully. I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews. What chapter am I going to go to? Oh, you're quiet right now. If I got a little bit of gossip going, you'd be talking your heads off with all this gossip. If I get to the scripture, you get very, very quiet. All right. Listen, let's go to Hebrews 6. It couldn't go to perfection. Paul said, we'll do if God permit, and God didn't permit. It's impossible for those who are once enlightened, once for all enlightened. Now that means you go right back to what Jude said, the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Here we are at the end time. And who was the apostle? Paul. Was he over Peter, James, and John? By far. He was the great one. How do I know? Brother Branham said so. Moses, Paul, William Branham. Huh? Okay, here's William Branham at the end time. We're made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come,
having fallen away, you cannot renew them to repentance. No way. Seeing they have crucified to themselves, they can't crucify the Son of God, they crucify themselves. To themselves, the Son of God afresh with no shame, the earth which drinketh rain that cometh oft upon it, how often? 7 times, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom is dressed, receive blessing of God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak for God, is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. Now you've showed toward his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And if you love his name at the end time, how thick are you going to be with God's people? Every time I hear that people are going to build a house away from where the saints of God are, I begin to say, watch for trouble. I say, well, I got a job. That job's a different thing entirely. I've noticed many times in this church the cutoff of that deep love and fellowship. I've noticed every now and then a lagging. Hey, you're the losers, honey. I'm not going to stand up with a whip or anything else. Ministering, loving that name. Yeah, that's it. So, we're looking over here, weren't we, Colossians 3 and 6. And it said, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, and they are all messed up with what? Fornication. That's messing around with wrong spirits and wrong words. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. And the wrath of God comes upon them. So this bunch here, at the end time, that are disobedient, wrath of God's going to come upon them. But Paul said there's a group in there, he said, that aren't going to have that wrath come upon them. So they are the children of light and obedient. Now you notice that even the foolish virgin doesn't get it because they're all dead. Who's left? Serpent seed. All right, now this goes to 2 Peter. And you know that I use certain scriptures all the time because there aren't any other scriptures to use. These are the scriptures for our hour. Why should I talk about what belong to Luther's hour? Not that we don't. It's the same spirit coming up in the revelation. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damned heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves such destruction. Now these people right here, they're talking about Jesus having bought them and paid a sacrificial price. And they're denying him. Now how are they going to do that unless there's some vindication around? I'd like to know. So you can read this scripture and have a million ideas of your own. But pin it down to this truth of this hour, William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, on par with Moses and Paul, who speaks face to face with God. Now you can do what you want. You can't raise your voice at me and rejoice and be just as adamant there's something wrong with somebody. I wouldn't know where to turn. That means my thinking is gone. Everything I ever had is gone. It has to stand the light of that scrutiny. And a bunch of Branhamites are getting more and more Pentecostal all the time. Okay? Here it is. There were false prophets. There'll be false teachers. They're going to bring in damnable heresies. They're heretical. They worship God apart from absolute truth. They're absolutely in a worship form, and it's Antichrist. You're the devil. Damnable heresies. Even denying the Lord that bought them. They don't even know that, the majority of them, but they're doing it. Now, with that, we go over to 1 John, and we look at chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false spirits are gone out into the world. See?
Many false spirits are gone out there.
And over here also, it says in verse 5 and 6, same chapter, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. So now you got two teachers on the scene, two different spirits. And one man absolutely stands up and says, I have got the Spirit of God. If you listen to me, I know you've got the Spirit of God. If you don't listen to me, I know you don't have the Spirit of God. So, oh my, that's blasphemy. William Branham could say that. He did say it. Oh, horrors! Oh my! Let me show you a little while just what liars they are. Show you where they're coming from. He that heareth me is born of God. He that doesn't hear doesn't even know God. Hereby we know the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. Who are you listening to? A philosopher? Some jughead? Some theologian? Some healer? It was a vindicated man that does thus saith the Lord, then sit down and shut up. And don't move one muscle of your brain, one thought, until you know you're in tune with that prophet. Now, let's just go somewhere. What is the hour in which we live in the Spirit? Revelation 3:14, unto the angel, the messenger, which is in the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the finisher, the winder up, the God of truth, according to Isaiah, faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Now, the beginning of the creation of God is God creating himself in the form of human flesh, and it stops in this hour. After the 144,000 Jews are in, nobody else. That's it. No more flesh. No more coming down. Yeah. Now, I know thy works are neither cold or hot. I would thou were cold or hot. They said, who are you talking to and who are you talking about? Next thing he says, so then because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I spit him out. He said, just a minute. What? You don't mean us. Now watch. Because thou sayest, listen to these liars. Listen to these perverts. These false teachers. Listen to them. Why, they say, I'm rich, increased with goods, and I don't need anything. Yeah. Now, who's lying? Whose children are they? You sit here and say, well, brother, but I've been a pretty good fella. Maybe like me, you prayed at your mother's knee, then couldn't wait to go out and steal the gold out of somebody's teeth. Yeah, don't give me that stuff, brother, sister. Don't give me that stuff. Let me tell you something. I told you before. I can preach out of my heart to you and kill every one of you. You know why? Because we're just alike. We're humans. You got your good thoughts, I'll match them. You got your lousy thoughts. You got your fantasies, I'll match them. Well, I never had me, Brother Dale. And you never did have anything. You're dead. You ain't even an animal. Because I've seen my dog sleep and go, he's dreaming. He lied in his back, there's south, and I'd take a piece of meat and I'd just inch by inch and nudge it toward him. He goes, and he's up like that. And you try to tell me in the light of a dog, why, they said, we're rich, increased in goods and don't do anything. No, it's not. You are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Who's lying? The Laodicean church is full of liars. They are children of disobedience on the grounds of a vindicated prophet. All Pentecost is built on as a bunch of tongue talkers. I know their history. I was one of them for years, and I know the history of the books. And from the Black Brother Seymour in California to Charles Parham, I believe in Kansas, to Dr. Price the genius, to Mrs. McPherson, the smartest actress, blaspheming preacher one you ever saw. Even Carrie Judd Montgomery and all of those. I know all their histories. Their history is experience without word. And yet God made even Mrs. McPherson tell the truth. Because I read her sermon where the gifts of the Spirit were restored. And that's what was restored, not the word. You know, you might want to challenge me. I was Pentecostal. I'm 81 years old. Get this flat. I was converted about 16 years of age in a Pentecostal church. I got a drop on every one of you. Since then, I've moseyed around the Baptist. I was Presbyterian to begin with. I'm not proud of it. Liars. Now, these corrupt, deliberate, rebellious people are like their father, the devil, who was deliberately rebellious. I want you to just think of his mentality. Here's a created being in the presence of the great Creator, Almighty God. And he said, I will exalt myself above the heaven. I will be like the Most High God. I will have worship. I will take over. And after the white throne, what everybody is divided, sheep from goats, as in the foolish virgin go up, did the sheep enter in eternal life. All those billions out there, liars, devils, filthy spirits, human beings, so-called, natural brute beasts, better still, Bible calls them that, they attack the heavenly encampment as though they could win. Now, just sit a while tonight. Have you ever met people in your life that hate the truth? I ask you a question. Just for fun, let's see a raise of hands. How many of you people really were in Pentecost in one time of your life? Yeah? So there's a few. I want to ask you a question. Were you loved by the people? They hated your guts. Let's go back to my day when I was a kid. And the old story was always the same thing, that people speaking in tongues, and it sounded like they might be talking Chinese, so they'd go get a Chinaman from one of the restaurants. And in Canada, just about every restaurant is run by a Chinaman. You're getting them down here now. You're catching up to the Canadians. That's something, isn't it? Yeah. Lousy food, too. So they bring the Chinaman and say, what are they doing? Oh, he's speaking lousy, terrible words, cursing God. Ha! Hogwash. Go to Texas where the revival broke out and they came with guns and tried to kill the people. Go to Poland, and I heard a minister that went to Poland, became a Pentecostal minister. They did their best to kill him. Go back to the days of Luther. They brought an army against him. Go back to the days of Wesley and see what happened to them. Now, if you know the roots of Pentecost, and I wasn't in the actual roots, because they came in 1906, and I got saved, about 1930. How you think they loved us? They didn't. They hated us. But Jesus said, they hated me without a cause, but you're going to have, they'll have reason to hate you. Boy, are you going to get it. Alright, let's go a little further. There's another word for disobedience, and that does not mean what we're talking about. That word actually is the same word that's used over here concerning the testimony of the angel to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who was yet to be conceived. And born. And here's what he said about John the Baptist. Verse 16 of Luke 1. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Oh, look at that, a spirit right there. This fellow's one of those spirits. But it's the spirit of Elijah, that's good. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a prepared people for the Lord. Now, who are the people that are prepared that must be made ready? They're the disobedient ones. Right? Well, look at the Bible. Luke 1:17. The hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, in order to make ready the people prepared for the Lord. And who are those people? Disobedient. What does the word disobedient mean? Unknowledgeable. They got there through no fault of their own, evidently. No. They are not willfully disobedient. They wouldn't know what to obey and how to obey if they met it in the morning. They just aren't with it. These are the children of God. So therefore, to make ready the prepared people. And that's Romans, book of Romans. The vessels prepared for glory, the vessels prepared for wrath. Right? Moses was a vessel prepared for glory. Pharaoh was a vessel prepared for wrath. Right? Bible says so. All right. These vessels that were prepared for glory weren't ready. Now, something's wrong. What is it? They lack a revelation. They lack a knowledge. Now, that's why John the Baptist as Elijah number 3 had to come. And it's the same reason William Branham, Elijah number 4, had to come. He never came to the children of disobedience. He came to the children of him who was obedient to his own word, in order to line them up to the word. So, if you're still one of those people who doesn't understand passive faith and contradiction to active faith, I got news for you. You're dead. You're not a child of God. You're out there. You're still trying to put something to it and do something. You really get to be my age, you'll find out what little you can do. And I'm pretty good shape for the shape I'm in. Everybody says how great I look. Of course, you know, flattery. Flattery gets you nowhere. Not interested. Okay. Let's go to Romans. And it's the 5th chapter. Oh, my. And it's verse 19 I got down here. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. One knew the word, Adam, Eve, didn't deny the word, were grossly careless, and allowed themselves to be inveigled into a position which brought death and destruction. But nowhere does it say that Eve or Adam denied the word. Eve got very careless. It might have been Adam's fault leaving her alone. I don't know. She got very careless with the word. She didn't say there's no God, this isn't word. But she let the word get changed. And then she got confronted by God, and then she tried to wiggle out of it, lying, so did he. But you can't get rid of the word of God that's been vindicated. There's no way you can do it. Now, this word, as I said here, disobedient, disobedience means to neglect to hear, to not take it seriously unto acceptance, unto obedience of life. That word is pertinent to your life. Grab it, hold on to it. And where you can, and you can, and I can, live it up. Now, as Brother Branham candidly said, everybody couldn't be Jesus. Everybody couldn't be Moses. Everybody can't be Elijah. Everybody can't be William Branham. That's why you got John 12 and 14. 14 and 12. He that believeth will do greater works. Everybody wanted to pin that down to the church as a whole over 2,000 years would do greater than Jesus did. That's wrong. It's one man. Mentioned a he. Not the he. Not the church it. No. Not she, the church. He. A man. And Brother Branham proved who it was, which was he himself. To me, the one spells out rejection. The other does not reject and deny, but neglects to hear in the sense that is not taken seriously, perhaps even lightly. As Paul said to those in Timothy, to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee. In other words, there's a potential to let down the bars. My God, how often we've done that. I've done it so many times, it's pitiful. Brother Branham said, you backslide 1,000 times a day, which means you face the word which has been vindicated, and you know the truth, and you know that passive faith of yours in that truth. Then you begin veering aside a little bit. Maybe you're going to accommodate somebody. Maybe it means you're going to get more friends or get more money. Like these guys that, when they think you're a Christian, they talk about the Lord to sell you a heap of junk, and they lie to you. I told you one time about our daughter. We went into a place and she wanted to get a TV. That's way before, I think that's before Brother Branham died. Yes, I think it was 30-some years ago now. And she wanted a TV for her house. And she was with us at that time, I guess. And was going to be moving. The guy said, now look, you just sign here and we will not deliver this until you tell us to deliver it. In other words, it's not a contract that you're bound to, that that you own the TV and all, but he went on. She came up to me. I said, Carol, you're a jackass. I said, you sign that TV will be delivered here. That guy with his little fisher and fish hook, don't put him down to me as some kind of a Christian. He's just a big mouth that talks about Christianity and make money. I maybe shouldn't have been so harsh. Next day, the TV set arrived. Take it back. Now, what kind of a Christian was he just lying? See, money, money, money. The desire of his heart was not the grace of God, it was money. Okay, let's go on. Now notice how Paul uses the word disobedient relative to himself in Acts 26:19. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. In other words, he said, I did not turn aside from the reality. Even though God said, I'm going to make you suffer great things. But you will be a light to the Gentiles. You will be a light to the light. Like John the Baptist, a light to the light. William Branham, a light to the light. Why? Because they were lights. How are you going to be part of the light and not say amen as Brother Branham said to every word?
Well, I don't go for Brother Branham. Yeah, we've got these gifts. Oh, sure you've got gifts. That's all you do have is gifts.
Now, verse 19, which Acts 26:19, Paul said he wasn't disobedient in heavenly vision, is based upon the fact that he had an absolute, authentic experience of being smitten to the ground, smitten blind, and he heard God identify himself, Jehovah, not Jesus, Joshua, Jehovah Savior. Who are you? I'm Jehovah Savior. I did it. That did it.
Well, you know, if I'd have been there, I'd have had to have some double proof. He wouldn't have been there, don't worry. You wouldn't have been there. I wouldn't have been there. There's something that light, when light turns on the light, a little light in here, you know it.
Now that obedience of Paul was based upon God appearing to him in the desert, down there in Arabia somewhere, I guess it was, and based upon also Romans 15 to 21, where Paul speaks of his vindication, and in 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul further speaks of vindication. He said, I never came here with words of wisdom and flattery and nice talk, he said, and philosophies. In fact, Paul condemned philosophies. You'll find that in Timothy, I believe it is. First or second, I don't know which one. It's in there. He condemned them. They're mere philosophies. Mere speculation like we've got today. We've got a bunch of Gnosticism amongst us from Gnostics. Female Holy Ghost, and God's got a consort, and this and that and the other thing. They can't believe that Brother Branham said that the female spirit in Eve and the male spirit in Adam, the sexual differences were merely for propagation. And what were they propagating? Life, God's life. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Where's the female there? According to a big shot down there in Tennessee, I was supposed to take this up. Well, maybe not take it up, but later on he figured I would claim it as my revelation. I haven't gotten a revelation about female spirits. I don't know. It just blows my mind, that kind of trash. As far as I'm concerned, it's trash. Now, thus, Brother Branham, on page 12, paragraph 65, points out that all seed of disobedience, all tares, all seed of discrepancy are the children of Satan, the rebellious one. From the beginning, who through the serpent became the father of Cain by cohabiting with Eve, the neglectful one. See? That he's the one who turned down the word of Almighty God. And then he turned it to a lie by his own interpretation. That's what Satan did. That is how sin entered into the church. You can read that in Romans 5. The virgin church which neglects the truth does not stress vindication. And Satan jumps in, as in 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. Another spirit, another God. Another gospel, another Christ. Another Jesus. Until creeds and dogmas come forth and you have a mixed group with what is a minority. You see? There you have your wise and foolish virgins, and you have the believers, unbelievers, and make-believers, the whole bit. So, all right, if you want to read further, you can read Jude 3:25, tells specifically what Paul said and preached in Acts 20. And, of course, we read a little bit in 2 Peter, the second chapter, and we found that these were people who positively rebelled against vindication. Now, Paul had a taste of it when he said, I hear you're divided, there's schism among you. For some say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter. Now, just a minute. If they said, I'm of Paul and I'm of Peter, that's not bad. They're both apostles. Now, it is bad that Paul had to set Peter straight. And Peter in his epistle admits that Paul is 100% right. But he says things hard to understand, so watch, be careful. But who in the world's Apollos? He's second generation. Now, how in the world do you inject the pure life of the first generation into the second generation? You don't. There's always tiddlywinks going on and messing around. All little chicanery going on there. So you see the foolish virgins in that church, which are not in the election of the wise virgin, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will fall for and neglect the truth.
They will do it.
And notice how the truth began to drift away. Because by the time you've got three or four generations, you've got the church mixed up wise and foolish, and in there the wolves came in. There's no prophet there now. There's no vindication. There's just the fact they've got to rely and do the best they can. And God never let his little bride down. They always will have what truth is available. And of course, at the end time, the light became brighter under Luther, Wesley, and then under Brother Branham, and the light came all the way back. So, all right. We're going to read again, and I know this is not to be, I don't mean to be tedious, but reading at 65. Now, notice as they did, then as the Bible said, and John spoke to his children, said, little children, you heard of Antichrist, which was to come into the world, and he said, which is already in the world, and is working in the children of disobedience. Not working in them, disobedience. But he influences those that are disobedient, children of God, because they get careless. Like they say, like I said to Brother Branham, Brother Branham, I don't get this long hair bit. I said, I've seen these Pentecostal gals, and usually you saw them in oneness in these very legal apostolic faith bunch, and I'm going to tell you what, just stay away. They got the meanest spirit under high heaven, and the women are messy. They run their husbands, everything else. They ain't fit to be called women. You say, well, men aren't fit to be called men. I wasn't arguing about the men. I was talking about the women. Never saw messier ones in my life. Just mean skunks. You know, see them all the time there. Now, we're talking about these people here in the church. You've got those people in there that there's no vindication anymore. What have they got left? They got the word that has been tampered with. They got the word that has been trifled with, in the sense that there is no real dedication to the truth. And you will find that these people let down the bars to the extent, because there is no vindication, they now begin to agree with themselves, forming organizations, that they can positively give you the word of Almighty God, and they are in error because there is no such thing from the first century as not being a breakdown of the actual truth of Jesus, the actual truth of the revealed gospel, and the actual truth of the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he does. And so now we have the people coming together, and in order to make themselves right, because they do have a certain amount of light, and a certain amount of life in that light, they now organize and say, all right, we've come to the place where we have it. God knows we've got it. We've got the whole thing. And we're going to stick with this all the way down the line. And so, as I say, they organize, and I have seen the power of organization myself and been so disillusioned with it and so embittered by it that it destroyed a great deal of my life. I'm not proud of that fact. I didn't know what God was doing. He was getting me out of organization, keeping me out of it. And every time I went near the thing, I found the same thing until I finally broke loose and said, look, I'm not interested in any group or any groups whatsoever. The only reason there's any little group here in a corporation is because the law allows it, and we have certain privileges granted to us, and they do not contradict the Scripture and contravene them. We stay right within the Word of God, and you can do that because the law, Peter says, is of God, and it's a threat to the wicked, but it's not a threat to those who would do right and be right. So we do it all organized here. The little bit that I have in Grace Cross Ministry is the same thing. It is only set up for a matter of convenience according to the law, and it does not dictate to anybody, doesn't tell anybody anything, it doesn't proposition anybody. It merely stands up here and says, look, we have a bit of property, we preach the word of God the way we see the vindicated prophet did, and if you don't want it, that's fine by us. We don't have a bit of problem. But they went into organization. So, all right, we were up in here, and we were talking about it. It said, which is already in the world, and is working in the children of disobedience, and that spirit is in the church. And that's the children of disobedience are right there in the church. Now, you can be a child, an obedient child, in the sense that you're right with your revelation, but you're wrong in the fact of the way you walk. And now also it can be in the way of the fact in which those people allowed themselves, and I'm agreeable to the fact that I don't believe they could really help it. I'm pitiful toward them, and I understand their dilemma. And I'll tell you why. Because Brother Branham categorically said, it was all right until this time. You could go to the front and shake hands with the preacher and say, that's it. And if your heart was really right with God, your shaking hands didn't bring you in, but the Spirit of God brought you in, but you could shake hands. And you could think that meant something to you. It was all right until this time that you could join a church. And you knew that joining the church did not make you born again. But you knew there was a church in the Bible, and the Bible spoke of a church. It spoke of the great bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it talked of the heavenly church, which is New Jerusalem. And it talked about a local church, which is in the home of so-and-so. So you could say, all right, I'm able to go there. I'm able to join it. I'm able to be in an organization. You could do that. But you see, what you were neglectful, not of your own, even as the time of John the Baptist. You did not mean to be neglectful. You were seeking the truth. You went as best you could to the truth. You wanted to live the truth, but you didn't have it. But now, in this age, vindication comes. Now watch. There's a break. In this age, the same as there was a break from Judaism at the time of Paul, after Jesus Christ was crucified and raised from the dead. And if you got circumcised, you were lost. You made Christ to no avail if you said, this I have got to have, because you added to it and you went so far as to go to your flesh to do it. In the flesh there abides no good thing, whether you cut off the end of the penis or you leave it all on or cut it all off. There isn't anything you can do. That's rough talking, but I'm nailing it right down. The minute you add one word, you're gone. Now, the bride will not do that. But as the people were not ready to accept Jesus Christ, except for John the Baptist, neither are the people today ready to receive Jesus Christ. His presence, I'm talking now about God, Elohim himself. We can use the term interchangeable, but you've got to know how and when you're using it. And we can talk all we want about Jesus coming back to this earth. There is no way he's going to bring a bride back to this earth. There is no way there'll be a resurrection. There's no way there's going to be a rapture outside of that vindicated prophet. And they can say what they want, because Hebrews 6 denies it. And Revelation crucifies them, chapter 3. So there you stand right tonight. You have the deliberate children of disobedience. And they'll stand right there and defy the same as Satan and say, no way we're going to make it. And there were those around William Branham. And they spent, I suppose, as much time as I did. They wanted to wine and dine him and do this and do that. And it was all nothing but a little trifling mess. Full gospel businessmen, rich Pentecostals saying, we're rich in priests and goods. Who needs William Branham? We've got Jesus. Hallelujah. We speak in tongues. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've been saved. As I used to teach years ago, saved by the Spirit of God. Wonderful. Now, I got the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Two spirits. Hallelujah. Taught by great men like the late Dr. McCrossin, one of the greatest Presbyterian theologians in the world, who worked with Dr. Price, who said tongues is not the evidence, but he knew there was a baptism. And Brother Branham settled the whole thing. And he said, you are born again by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. When I understood that perfectly, I go to my scripture and I find, because you are seed, not going to be seed, not made seed, you are a child of God, you are a child of light. You are a part of God. God has sent his Spirit into your heart to seal you back. They can't read the Bible. Here's the Bible. You can give me the Bible. I can read the Bible. I'll tell you what's in it. Oh, you're boasting. I'm not boasting. I knew the prophet. And I know the God of the prophet. And William Branham and Jesus Christ are no different from me and from you. No, no, no. Not as to essentiality and intrinsicality, being a part of God, but in magnitude. William Branham is a drop in the ocean alongside of Jesus. And you got to look at us under a microscope compared to him. But we got the same life. And I'm going to tell you, the little elephant, when it's born, maybe 100 pounds, and its mama, 1,600 pounds, and his daddy, 2,400 pounds, but they're all three elephants. That's the way you and I are. Compared to God, we don't even compare to God. Let's just compare to his son, Jesus Christ the righteous. We're just infinitesimal. See? Okay. Now, that was along about 30 years after the coming of the Holy Ghost. We find that when the Holy Ghost came, the real seed. Yeah. The real life giver to the seed. Then, so the two things were there. One, the real seed was there. The real life giver to the seed was there. After the resurrection. And he was still there. through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To the people there. Then comes that discrepancy in again. And notice on it went. And the real word had been vindicated. See, the Brother Brown's getting back to it. He's the prophet vindicated. Those prophets of old had vindicated the word to God to be the truth. See? I told you, these people were rebellious. The word was vindicated. The word's vindicated today. We don't want it. We're shuck of it. No, don't even come near me. And they'll hate you too. Burn you right up. Now, if anybody ever read the Nicaea Council, pre-Nicaea Council, those days, those 15 days of bloody politics when those bunch of Romans went down there, wanted to bring in and make a denomination out of that church, the prophet came in wrapped in sheepskin, eating herbs, and stood for that word. What did it do? It had to be like Cain. It had to be like Abel. One had to die, right? You see? Certainly did. And the word lost its influence among the people. Now just watch that phrase. And the word lost its influence among the people, and they all voted out the true word and took in dogmas of discrepancy of the early Catholic Church. They added a pope, a bishop, and this and that and the other. They took away the real true meaning of Peter and Mary and all the rest of it, and made idols and made nothing but just a bunch of pagan ceremony out of so-called Christian religion. What was it? Seal of discrepancy? Seal of discrepancy. Organized for the first time on earth a church. What was it? That seed of discrepancy, that's which started sowing something, adding to, and taking away. And from that time on, it went down and down until the Dark Ages, when you will find a few people in the Catholic Church who are really servants of God. You saw Martin Clumb and different ones in there were great servants of God. But they see that, and now today, you have the love of money, nice churches and pensions, which started back there in Nicaea. You've got them today in orbit. Whoever heard in the Bible not meeting God on Friday? Whoever heard in the Bible anything of sprinkling instead of baptizing by immersing? Whoever heard of those things, a Hail Mary or something? Whoever heard of this rotten Tommy rot of these Protestants too? Pot can't call kettle greasy. Right. Just guilty of the least as guilty of the whole. That's right. The truth. He that's guilty of one point of law is guilty of all. Add one word, take away one word, you ruin the whole thing. It's no longer complete and perfect. Whoever heard in the Bible? No. Whoever heard of God dealing in an organization? Show me one time that one ever organized and stayed alive. Now you see, that's what they're doing in Acts the 20th chapter. And that's what they're doing in Corinthians, the Corinthian church. I'm a Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm a Cephas, I'm of this, I'm of that. I've been baptized this way, I've been baptized that way. And they actually built on it. And you can see the fallacy of the 20th century when they had a man one time. He was supposed to be caring for the Holy Ghost, and he was leaning over a bench, and the fellow wanting the Holy Spirit was facing toward him, and without meaning he blew in the fellow's face, and the guy began speaking in tongues. He said, "There it is, you blow on him, they get the Holy Ghost," and they call them holy blowers. That's the truth. I don't mind some things that were done. You know, like that anointing with oil. You know, you read the psalmist says, you know, talking about the anointing oil, the fellowship of the saints, the anointing oil is like the oil that flowed down the head of Aaron right to his beard and to his skirts. Well, you no doubt have heard of it, and it's true that it could really happen. You could say, I'm going to anoint this person, take a whole jug of olive oil and pour it on it. You got scripture for it. But if you don't have scripture for it, it's just a little bit of oil. And it didn't say the elders to bring a gallon of oil. It just said, come and anoint it with oil. Then if you had faith and you didn't have any oil, it still worked. See? They died immediately and did not rise again. Now here we're going to watch this one. It's time that something takes place. A. B. It's time for God to move. Now watch. You have two phrases in apposition. A is B. It's time that something takes place. What is the something to take place? It is time for God to move. Now the prophet is saying that. All right. They are the same. Now, is it time for God to move? Certainly. Israel's in the homeland. And when it's in the homeland, it's time for the resurrection. Now, I've proved that to you. But in case some of you haven't heard me prove it, I'll prove it again to you. So, you'll know where we're coming from. The 11th chapter. And it says in verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? Israel isn't dead. It's blind. They're dead in their sins, but so is every Gentile. But the eyes of the Gentiles have been opened and the eyes of Israel blind. A blind man is not a dead man. So it tells you here, when God receives Israel back in the homeland, you are in the age when the resurrection takes place. You are in the age when the rapture takes place. So therefore, God is fixing to do something. Because Brother Branham categorically said, if you want to know the time, watch Israel, right? If you want to know the condition, church, watch women, right? All right, he said, it's time for something. It's time for God to move. Now, God has moved Israel back in the homeland. Now, what's he done with us? Let's find out what he's done here. And this is what people don't understand, because Brother Branham categorically said the baptism with the Holy Ghost was temporary. All right. It says in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until. And then no longer. Finish. Napoo. Over. Until the redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of glory. What did Brother Branham say? Revelation chapter 10 contained the one that came down with the book of redemption open. So all the names in the book have been redeemed at this particular time because he's still here with the book. It's time for that one to descend. It's time for the dead to come out of the grave. It's time for the rapture. Also, what time is it? It's Ephesian time, as we read here. What does it say? Wherefore also, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks, you make mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, who possesses that? Nobody but the Holy Ghost, which is God himself. Nobody. If God does not declare himself, listen, even to his son, how would his son know? Brother Branham categorically said, the son does not know the day or the hour. It's in the father's hands, not in his. The son is a prophet. God is limited by his words, and Jesus is limited by the words that God gives him. Now, where's your Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and all this other stuff? I feel real good. I could start screaming right now. But your chandeliers couldn't take me swinging. And Ralph said he'd follow me, but Ralph ain't going to hold us up. They don't understand. They don't want to understand. What you and I love to feed on is vomit to them. What they love to feed on is vomit to us. I can't take any of those things any longer. Listen, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what He is. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the Lord Jesus Christ? The one born of a virgin in whom God descended and went into and stayed there until the Garden of Gethsemane and left Him cold. Yeah. Oh, He's comatose. He's gone back to dust.
Oh, God.
You know, really, it's such a terrible thing I shouldn't even be derisive. Just forget the whole schmear and walk on. Now watch. May give the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Ha! Resurrection. Yeah. Voice. Shout, rather. Voice. Shout. Voice. Trumpet. Message. Resurrection. Rapture. There it is. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's right here in the Bible that says so. Because it said that is going to be to us word, positively, when the baptism with the Holy Ghost gives out, when the last of the bride has been sealed in, the sealer himself comes down as a seal. I'll pray the Father, He'll send the Holy Spirit. Who sends the Holy Ghost? God does. The great sealer Himself. The great baptizer is here. And it's going to take us up in the rapture to the wedding supper, the same as Jesus rose and went to the heavens and stays there until the Father puts everything under His feet. There's a resurrection take place. There's a rapture take place. God incarnates Himself. We crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what the Bible, that's what Brother Branham said. That's what the Bible teaches. Fire above all principality, might, dominion, power. Every name that's named not in this world, the world to come. Put all things under His feet. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Elohim making all things subject to Jesus. That's Klusma, the shout. Making subject. Bringing to order. Bringing to pass. The seal open. Eternity and time melted. Together. Now, let's just think about it. And what my brother says, you killed the influence amongst the people. Why didn't he say they killed it? Huh? Because they didn't. We did it. Thank God we came out of this murderous bunch. Killed the influence. Whose influence they killed back there? The prophet indicated. And those prophets and people that knew the Word of God and knew Mark 16 and could distinguish it from 1 Corinthians 2 and Romans 15 and several places in the New Testament, Book of Acts and so on, have vindicated, thus saith the Lord prophet. These people believed God. And as the Pentecostals rightly by study pointed out, there never was an hour, an age on this earth when there wasn't some speaking in tongues of some sort, some prophecy, some healing the sick, some miracles. That there wasn't a bride endowed by God. And then the gift, age of gifts came and does come according to Acts, the second chapter, right before the Great Tribulation. Now that's 1906, and it's now 1996. Uh-huh. And right, we haven't had the Great Tribulation yet. That was said way back there. So 1906 to 96 is 90 solid years since the prophecy given roughly 2,000 years ago, maybe 1930, 40 years. 37. That was prophesied. And in various other places also. See? Kill the emphasis. I told you over here in paragraph 66 to watch that thought. The Word lost its influence among the people. How? By turning away from the real, valid revelation of the true Word of God by the carelessness of the people who didn't realize what they were losing. Now listen to me. This happened under Paul. He said, you've lost your virginity. You're already going into idolatry. Now remember, when David was young, he never had too much trouble. He stayed really regular good guy. He disobeyed knowing full well the truth of the Word of God. He was just a very carnal person in spots. But look at Solomon. He knew the power of God, the temple filling with smoke, and the priest couldn't minister, and his great prayers, he lifted his hand toward heaven, and God answered back. And when he got old, he went right into idolatry. Now, I don't believe he was lost. No. He sure lost out with God as far as his life was concerned, and he caused Israel a lot of problems with his stupidity. But he did not really disbelieve God, but he got careless. He got careless like David, his father, with women, 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 women. And women type the church. Therefore, women type organization. Why did Brother Branham condemn the women voting? He did too. Organization. Now let's face it, every single thing in this world has its types. I've been criticized for taking certain types, and I admit I can't prove it, but I can go to Scripture and I can prove some really tough ones. One I got in mind. That makes some of the gals and men say, yeah, that's a bunch of you know. That's fine, say what they want. Yeah, I'm ready for the challenge, the showdown. You show me that this doesn't type. Even if God is seen in nature, you can see everything in human beings, and you're going to see it in the church. Never mind these guys that just talking are outside the church. I'm talking about the three kinds of believers now. You kill the influence amongst the people. So therefore, the church today organized with its discrepancies, which it believes above vindication, has actually killed the ministry of Brother Branham. It was supposed to. How could they crucify Christ to themselves if they didn't? How could Brother Branham say to me that this certain man called him by name, it's men like him, so-and-so, that stops my true ministry from coming out? I never did believe that. I mean, I didn't, not that I didn't believe it. I said, how, Brother Branham, how can you say it? How can anybody stop God? Suddenly one day, like a voice said, and he did not many mighty miracles because of their unbelief. And I said, oh boy. That's it. I beg your pardon, Brother Branham. You're 100% right as usual. Even the Son of God couldn't work. How many times did Brother Branham stop by unbelief in people? How many times on the tape have you heard him say, I caught your thought, you're wrong? Huh? They went right on, right? Oh, we're great Christians. Hallelujah. Just a minute. They're supposed to say that. Judas, anointed with the Holy Ghost and gifts to raise the dead and heal the sick, he was supposed to do it. Pharaoh was raised up to do it. This is one thing about predestination and sovereignty we have not yet arrived to in this church. And that's my fault. I haven't arrived to it. Maybe I never will. But I see predestination, sovereignty, more than I ever saw. And you know why I see it? Because I'm dying. I don't have any proof of anything. No. I'm believing this man here, all I can do. That's all I got. Everything I thought I once had, forget it. Judas did it. He did more than I ever did. Where does it leave me? Either I am or ain't. There's only one way you and I can identify as children of God. He that heareth William Branham is of God. Well, John said that, not William Branham, but I got news for you. William Branham had far more right to say it than John. John was merely a scribe when he saw the vision. William Branham was the prophet with Moses and Paul. If there man be a prophet, I, the Lord God, appeared in signs, in dreams and visions, but my servant Moses is not so. To him I'll appear apparently. In other words, I'll make myself visible to him in a figure. Moses, Paul, William Branham. You kill the influence. Same thing has been done today. They kill the influence. Oh, that bunch of holy rollers, there's nothing to them. Why is discrepancy? Meet the word face to face and see what it is. See God interpret his own word. How can you do that? When you see God descend from the heavens and stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did. And who stood before the people? William Branham. They said, what's the difference? Why did Jesus mean when he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father? He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing.
William Branham didn't descend from heaven.
Of course he didn't descend from heaven. God did. God was in the prophet. So when I saw William Branham, I wasn't looking at a man, I was looking at God. He said,
oh, Brother Dale,
just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I got more than you got. Because you couldn't even tell it was God. Some of you, a bunch of holy rollers, said it was the devil. Big shot Pentecostal down West Palm Beach. He said, William Branham. He said, it's got a familiar spirit. I can tell you one thing, his spirit wasn't too familiar to God. With God. I wish you'd have been with me the times I said, Brother Branham, on that platform and around him. You'll never know this year there. There's something so different. We go to these big meetings, my wife and I, to the Full Gossip Businessmen. You know, they'd have these waiters all, lights turned out, and the waiters with there was sparkling types of desserts coming in, seeing when the saints go marching in, you know. And we see Oral Roberts there. Maybe 1,000 people or better. And he'd be walking the halls by himself. Everybody hanging on to Brother Branham like this. You say, man, that's a slap in the face, isn't it? Great Oral with his great tent. Where is he today? Huh? Oh, they sing, I believe Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than snow. That's a lie from the pit of hell in the mouth of an unbeliever like those people that are false anointed and false vines, because the blood avails nothing without the word, because the blood is merely a sign of the covenant, which is the word. Ratifying it. You see, I got Jesus. I got the blood. You're a liar if you haven't got the word. I'm sorry. I've got to tell you the truth. Now, 40's virgin, you can get away. I don't understand too much about them. They're the ones in between. Now, don't ask me to figure a lot of things out. I can't. I just believe what he said. And that's good enough. God interprets his own word. God's able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Now, the point is, who said that? John the Baptist, right? Who said it? William Branham, right? Question is, did God raise up children to Abraham out of stones? No, of course not. Of course not. Do you think he's going to do it now? Of course not. Of course not. He's going to manifest his own children in the adoption, of which the major part is in the resurrection. And right now we've got the most important part in history, because we as a group of people will never, 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 never leave this world. They left it in Paul's day, they left the word. But we will never leave it. You know why? We're a bunch of stupid sheep. We don't know where to go. We're like those disciples. To whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. He said, now you got it. How long I talked, Brother Branham? 4.5 hours. I said, Brother Branham, are you trying to tell me the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the rebirth? He said, now you got it. I said, oh, brother. I said, hold it right there. No, I should have held it. But I was a believer. I said, okay, boss. You win. I believe it. That's when everything broke loose. Seed, everything broke loose. I can say I believe Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than snow. Now, The word had been thoroughly vindicated by those early Christians, how God delivered them from everything and diseases, and they had prophets. Now that's minor prophets, of course you understand that. And they spoke in tongues and interpreted, and gave messages that proved exactly the truth every time, but in the face of all that vindicated word. Now Brother Branham is using the vindicated word, not that these men were vindicated, but they had a vindicated word, which in turn manifested in them. And they didn't do it and say, now look at, I'm giving you people a sign here, and I'm going to show you that God does this and God does that. Now Bosworth came the closest to it when he knew that God never let him down with a radical mastoid when the whole entire ear is taken out, the eardrum and all. And he said, Lee, he said, Brother Vail, I just stand there chuckling. He said, you know, you should see the old boy chuckle. God, he was a sight for sore eyes. You remember him? Frank? Daddy Bosworth? I thought maybe you're down there more. But anyway, he would chuckle, and he would stand on the line, and after he gave the gospel invitation, now he said, anybody here that's sick, especially you with a radical mastoid, and the interpreter talent, the whole eardrum and all taken out, you come up here first, so we can show you what God will do. And he said, I just stand there chuckling, because I knew what God would do. He never failed. God put brand new eardrums and new bones in there. And I like that. I never had that kind of faith. I said, oh man, I thought it did pretty good in a certain time, but I never had nothing like that. Never came close. I saw one radical mastoid, though, delivered. I knew he would be. Don't ask me how you know, you just know. There's no way you can describe it, you just know. That's it. Now, he was saying here that these men had a living word from a vindicated living word by God coming down from the heavens, right, indwelling his son Jesus Christ in a way that he would in the future not indwell Paul, but would indwell him and even speak face to face and give him perfect recall to write a perfect scripture. You know, that's fantastic when you realize what I just said. Proved to be the truth every time. But in the face of all that vindicated word, the people voted it out and voted a denomination that's the mother of all organizations. We're going to stop right here. And believe me, brother, sister, the true bride will not organize, but who is to say there will not be an organization follow this message, which is no longer this message. Which is no longer this message. That's why you got to be so careful, even a small group like this, we don't extend ourselves and just stay right with the word. We don't send out anybody. We don't ordain people to go out. We help people all we can. We do what we can as Christians. Thank God we're able to do that. But to organize and set ourselves up and say, hey, we teach this and this is it. You'll never heard me say that and you never will, because as far as I'm concerned, what I teach is it, but I don't want anybody else to believe it. Unless on their own they see it. They say, hey, I've had preachers say and people say, Brother Vail, all these years, there's something been bugging me. When I heard your tapes, it came together. And thank God I know it now. I love that. That's fine, because you see, they're working with God. They're not working with me. I never sent them a tape most of the time. I send tapes anyway. You won't get me sending tapes to preach to anybody else unless they want them. Congregation can't get them unless they steal them. Or the preacher allows, I won't do it. I'm not interested in Lee Daly's ministry. I'm interested in this word here. That's all. And I've got to be faithful until death takes me. Until Jesus takes me. Not death. That's a silly death. I'm not going to die. But when you leave here, your death is separation, right? When you leave here, the separation is closer, right? So, death is life. Yeah, but don't call black white. This is different. When we die, it's no longer the death working in us due to sin, heredity, all those things. We're just crossing over. All right. We are there tonight. And if I come back tomorrow morning, we'll just won't even read notes. We'll just carry right on. And we'll look now to, oh, I guess I'll go to 1 Corinthians 11. To begin the service with the table, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach your table and and have finished the little dissertation on the word that the prophet left us, which we can take right to the Bible and to history and see it all come out. And we know we're fallible, Lord, but you're able to keep us so we're infallible, not of ourselves, but of the grace and mercy extended to us through your own person, the blessed Holy Spirit, helping us, seeing what the prophet said, hearing him, and know thereby we have the spirit of truth, and that's marvelous in our own way, own lives. Help us now in the next little form of service we have here, that we do not dishonor the shed blood and the broken body, nor the foot washing, Lord, which would make us all the more united, knowing that to the widows they'd washed the saints' feet, showing that they were rendering a service, showing that they were not just rendering a service, but putting themselves in a position to be a servant. And we want to do that too, Lord, because we have not been brought on this earth to be served. But every child of God is brought on this earth to serve, even as Adam and Eve were to serve you and to serve the earth and to do these things. Help us now, Lord, to recognize that positive position we're taking tonight. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. So 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says in verse 17, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not." Now, of course, you know the word declare there means to absolutely set forth in such a way that they can't miss it. You know, when Jesus was declared to be the Son of God, there's no doubt about it. William Branham declared to be Elijah, there's no doubt about it. When the Son declared the Father, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt, because it means a thorough exegesis, a setting forth where you where you don't miss it. So Paul is speaking very, very authoritatively here. He said, "I want now in this time that I declare unto you, I praise you not." Now notice that he was very powerful in his denunciation. He was setting the church in order. And he said, "You're entirely out of line. You need to be whipped back into line, and you're going to get it." Now, that's pretty well what's going on here. This verse. How many times did Brother Branham stand up just like Paul? Sweet man of God. Paul was a sweet man of God too, but he had a cast iron back. No, it wasn't cast iron breaks. He had one of whiplash steel that you couldn't break it if you tried. And sirree, that fella had to, when he wrote with Brother Branham one time in his prayer, I think it was in his prayer, he said he'd like a pen of steel on tables of stone. You want to write like a scribe. Now, in this that I declare, I'm going to lay it all out, and I'm 100% right. And if anybody thinks he's a prophet or even got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let him admit that the things I run into the commandments of God. And admit that I speak for God, that I am God to the people. My voice is God's voice. This is God's word, though it comes by me. This is it. Now, he said, "You're wrong. I do not praise you." I don't do it. He said that you come together for the better, but for the worse. You come not for the better, but for the worse. He said, "You're deliberately doing things that when you do what you do, when you come to do it and finish doing it," he said, "you're worse than you ever were. And every time you do it, it compounds like interest daily added to your banking account, your savings." In other words, there comes a time when it's exponential. We've had 2,000 years of blaspheming the broken body, the shed blood, and denying foot washing or putting it someplace other than it should be, which is in the church like we do, like Brother Branham taught us. So now it's exponential. What does it mean to be exponential? Well, it's just like if you have two beans and every day you double the two beans, there's going to come a time, and a very short time, when you come to the place of not square root, not cube, but it's going to be exponential. That's almost out of sight, if it isn't out of sight. That's the way it is in the world today. That's the way it is in the church. the desecration of the taking of the emblems of sitting in communion and the washing of feet has deteriorated for 2,000 years so grossly that it now is the same as the first century. They had another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. What do they got today? Nothing but absolute idolatry. The Jesus only are 100% wrong. The Trinity is 100% wrong. There's only one source that's right, and that's the Bible, and they can't read the Bible. So I told you many times, I read it, there's one meeting between God and man, the God Christ Jesus. That's a bunch of hogwash. And the Jesus only are no different. Brother Branham said, if you make Jesus the Word, then you got three gods. They don't know when to call God the Logos and Jesus the Logos. They don't know. Yet they both are, when they become visible and begin manifesting. Because the word Logos is not merely expression, it must contain part of the original. That's why this word is spirit. You read it, but it's spirit. You see, that puzzles me. So what about all that's puzzling you? What's that got to do with it? Are you puzzled how a cow eats grass and puts on nice tender steaks? Oh no, you have a great job eating the steaks. This is the same thing. Shut up or quit eating steaks. It's not my provision. Give them to my house. I'll eat them for you. See what I'm talking about? I may make a little light of it, but I'm doing this on purpose. Because I'm sarcastic. You don't believe this. You come not for the better, but for the worse. Now, one time it's bad, the next time it's worse, the next time it's worse still, the third time it's worse still, the fourth time it's worse still. And I say, in 2,000 years, it becomes exponential. How many months have we had in 2,000 years, and people usually celebrate this once a month? How many months? 12 times 2,000. Right? 24,000. What if you had money in the bank, even $5, and every day it moved up 24,000 times? Whew, I'd put Rockefeller out of business. Did you know if you invested, what was it, $10,000 what's this guy named? Buffett. In the 1950s, you'd be worth $80 million right now. Oh, I prophesy. If you sit in these pews 20 years from now, there'd be 40 millionaires here. My name is Buffett. But Buffett will make you rough it. What do you think of that? What about the Lord Salem? 2,000 years of it. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. See, there it is again. One says I'm a Paul, one says I'm a Paulus, one says I'm a Cephas, one says this. Now listen, it's very important that these people in this church speak all the same thing. Now nobody can make you, and I don't know who ever will. But it's very important to know that you sit here, you better sit here with thoughts of unity in your mind. And don't sit like that fellow said, I don't agree with you for the last two sermons. I said, what's to agree? Shut up. I own the pulpit and I got $100,000 from the church. I preach what I preach. You don't like it? Go someplace else. They said, well, you're a dictator. Have I asked any of you to stay? You asked me to stay. You're the ones. I didn't. To say the same thing. What does it mean when there's one God? Where do you place Jesus the Son? What has God always done? What is the Son doing now? What's he going to do? What's his position? Where is he sitting if he is sitting? Can your mind instantly jump to Brother Branham time after time after time after time? and go to the vindicated word? If you can do that, you're beginning to be agreement. Then when you get in agreement, you'll begin to really love each other because you love this word. And this word then becomes your God in the sense of your tie post. Because you cannot have a tie post outside of God revealing himself by his revealed word. Right? That's true. Divisions are out. Anybody running around talking to you, saying, pull you here, pull you there? Well, if you want to get pulled, be my guest. I'm not going to cry too much. I haven't got too much time to cry. And I also know this is par for the course. We're not, as it were, in God's pocket, some great, wonderful, lovely people. I hope we are, but who can prove anything? I hear, and I partly believe it. For there, listen. For there must also be heresies among you. What's a heretic? Doesn't worship correctly. Oh, they're taking the Lord's Supper, but oh, it's in vain. And every time they get worse and worse by doing it. Ever taken any doctor's medicine where you got worse and worse by doing it and finally had to quit and then you got better? This is it. This is it. Brother Branham said, I'm the doctor. He said, I held your noses and tried to put the medicine down. You spit it back in my face. Dr. Branham came on the scene. He was a chiropractor. He just a D-neck. Oh, yeah. So the head did come down. Oh, they screamed when the neck got adjusted and they walked out. Yeah. Destroyed the moving of God. What would Jesus have done if they'd have let him do it? Well, he said, if you'd only believe this was Elijah to come, he said, the heavens would open to you. Didn't do it. What about this one? Well, I'm staying with him. William Branham's dead, so is Muhammad, but William Branham's coming back. Yeah, he's coming back. What's he going to do? Oh, I don't know too much. Shake hands and tell us about the kingdom. I don't know what's all going to happen. Now, there must be heresies that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Little trouble here, little trouble there. Little fist fight here, little fist fight there. People walk off. Sure, let them walk. It's okay. When you come together, therefore, into one place, what you're doing is not the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one of you taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and other is drunken. Hey, just a minute. You know when this was written? In 59 A.D. And it's only in 53 that Paul went to the Gentiles. 6 years is all it took to get this way? Man. Boy, they turned that into debauchery. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Why? Because I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. Now this is holy word, holy ordinance, a holy communion, a holy convocation, a holy partaking. It's holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, of a holy, H-O-L-Y, God. I got from God what I told you. That the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, take, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now he said, listen, now let me tell you something. I never got this from the apostles. It's not something somebody told me. He said, God himself told me. Now let's read this carefully. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Now he received of the Lord. What did he receive of the Lord? This statement. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now listen, he doesn't say The same night in which I was betrayed, I took bread. Is that right? Huh? Then who's doing the talking?
God.
Who's God?
Elohim.
Who's he talking about?
Jesus.
Huh? And why did he read this wrong? Why did he read this as though Jesus came to Paul and said, I took bread one night and I broke it in. Huh? There goes your Trinity. There goes your Jesus only. Right? Oh, come on. Can we read or can't we read? I consider myself quite nice. I've kept my temper nicely now. Haven't been mean tonight at all. I want some answers. Can they read or can't they read? Do you see why now the type is in our university-educated men and women who can't even read, especially the men? And you know why they can't read? Because most of those bozos are a bunch of good clowns on a basketball or a tennis court or a football field or someplace else. So the world is indulging in it. Have a good time. Have a good time. You pay these guys $6 million in 1 year, $10 million. And the CEOs rob the public blind, and the shares and returns on the shares are not at all commensurate with the cost, and everybody knows it, and they're still going crazy buying shares. The silver and the gold is corrupted. Where did it all start? Right here. Right back in the Garden of Eden. Willfully ignorant, willfully disobedient, hating. And the poor little church all messed up and shivering around, trying to get a buck or two. You know? Oh, yeah. Took the man of the same manner, he took the cup when he had sup, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as you do often drink it in remembrance of me. As oft you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death to come. Wherefore, whosoever you eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, guilty. He's crucifying to himself the Son of God afresh. He's putting Paul the prophet to shame. The vindicated word is those nothing. He's a murderer. Right or wrong? Now, come on, let's be honest. Well, Brother Bill, I prefer to read it this with nice thoughts. Isn't it nice to remember the Lord? No. Not if you're doing it wrong. He doesn't want it. Now, Paul corrected him. I can't stand here and say, look, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. See, that's discrepancy. That's disobedience. That's letting things slide. If we claim we're clean by the blood, we ought to clean our lives up. Let a man examine himself. And let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation, that judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You got two thoughts on that. The Lord's body, what is it really? As the church today, and what is the Lord's body in the sense, did God really indwell that body, and was that body the body of the only begotten Son who became flesh? Mystery of mysteries. Don't try to explain it. Don't try to understand it. Just take what Brother Branham said. We came just like he did, except we bypassed that theophonic or spiritual or word form, and he remembered what he was and who he was and what he did. We don't remember. Too deep? No, not too deep. Just truth. Just truth, that's all. This is the book. I don't have to know all about it. That's a book. That's okay. That's an organ. That's a lamp. That's a picture. Who knows? You don't have to analyze. Get a microscope and just take it. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. But if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged or condemned. You see, when we're judged, we're chastened, we're trained, we're rebuked, we're smartened up. We're smartened up by the Lord. He sees we smarten up. You should not be condemned. Wherefore, brethren, when you come together, you tarry one for another. Now that's the secret right there of the Lord's table right there. To tarry for one another, pray for each other. If you're hungry, eat at home. You know, we're not coming for a meal. We're coming for one thing, to take these emblems and do what he said to do it in the way he said to do it. Have foot washing afterward. And Paul said, now listen, I'm going to tell you something. You better get this in order, and I'll put in order what remains. But if you don't get this in order, there's no use me coming to try to get anything else in order. Now that's how I read this. Because he's pretty blunt and pretty tough in his opening talk. He's pretty rough. I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'm going to get this straight. He said, you're wrong. And you're getting worse. You're not going to improve until you get back to what you belong in, what belongs there. So we're doing the right thing tonight. We understand that the Godhead. We understand the blood. It's the cutting of a covenant. The covenant sealed by blood. We understand that the word of God, brother, sister, sealed in. The life come back on us, joining us back to God, giving us what is known as a rebirth, giving us stature before God, getting us ready for the adoption. All these things are in there. This is the hour when it all runs out. We're ready to go. And I ask one question. Is the church of the world then doing right here? And the answer is, they went off track in the first century. They couldn't get back on till this hour. Not as they should be. Brother Branham made certain statements concerning this taking of the partaking of these emblems. And one was, you should absolutely be full of the Holy Ghost before you partake. I myself have not laid hands on or hold of everything he said about this ordinance. Perhaps I should dig more and more into what he said about it. It's certainly good that I would do so. And it's certainly good that every one of us should really know what the prophet said. Remember, his last sermon was communion. Already the church was thoroughly divided on what Brother Branham taught. I think he said already in Tucson there were 17 interpretations and 26. I forget what he said. Anybody remember? Look it up in the tape. It's there anyway. Already, he wasn't even dead then. And he took communion, the last thing he preached on and did. So it's very, very important we be very, very sober and know that this is not meaningless. That this is basic. That this is dangerous to those who are wrong. But it's terribly edifying, because if wrong doing makes you worse and worse, then right doing would be better and better and better. Which means the depth of the revelation and what lies here and how we pertain to it and it to us blends until it comes richer and greater in the Spirit of God to a depth of perfection that we're aiming and striving for. And isn't it true? And isn't it really true that if we can't do this right, what can we do right? Like Brother Branham said to me, and I worried about these preachers that were married and divorced and remarried and then went preaching. He said, Lee, if God cannot forgive a man for that, what can he forgive him for? And I said, Brother Branham, forgive me. You are right. The only unforgivable sin is blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. You're right. And this is, I say the same thing. If we can't do this right, what in the world can we do right? Question. I leave it there. Let's rise at this time. We're late, I know, but once I get talking about these things, I don't know where to stop, so you can forgive me. But the brethren come forward then so we can serve the table, Lord, and then we have the foot washing immediately following.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, at this time, as we stand here, concerning these precious emblems which are here, we know they take on a perspective greater than they within themselves are. Even the same as Jesus, there was something greater than he himself as he stood there. And we know that it was you, even he who said, "My Father doeth the works, and my Father tells me what to say, it is not I. But he that seeth me does see the Father." We thank you for that. And we see the same with these emblems. There's something far greater and beyond the very simple fact that we are partaking of them together. Help us, Lord, tonight to get all our minds in unity, Father. Even as the prophet said, if there are 10 people in one place with the same thought and understanding, I'm sure he meant that of the word, there'd be a rapture. So we know it's very, very important that we become of one mind. Help your people, Lord, in this day of the great revelation under the seventh seal, that there is one God, the Godhead exposed to us as it was, and who is this Melchizedek? Help us to start there and understand what you yourself said to the Apostle Paul concerning your Son, whom you gave to the world, who in turn gave his life back to you and to the world, and gave his blood and shed and his body to be broken. But now is raised to the right hand of majesty on high, and soon we too will be raised with him according to the truth. So help us, Lord, as Paul started there, told him, you get right with this to increase. May we be right tonight as never before, O God. Help us to forgive every single person in this world. Get every unclean thought out of our mind and our hearts. Every thought of disobedience. Zealous to just remove it all and to become truly obedient to thee, Lord, which would be by a correct revelation of your word and walking in the light as you're in the light. Surely, Lord, that is natural to believe that and to follow through even as John said. And we know he said it from truth of revelation and experience also. So may we be blessed tonight as we sanctify these emblems we partake in, the bread, the broken body, the wine, the shed blood. And then in foot washing, Lord, may it be that we come to a place of diligently desiring to serve and not be served. Look around to see what we can do for brethren and those in need, whatever can be done. Not that we want to be holier than somebody or set some kind of a pattern, but earnestly with the integrity of God in our hearts and the love of God in our hearts and desire to be right, to be as the Lord did. Even as Jesus came not to be served but to serve and said that foot washing is that. Help us, Lord, to get in the rhythm of it, to get under the spell of it, to get under the binding of it, to be under the hand of the director and come forth as a sweet incense and a savor unto our God. And we'll give you glory because there will be glory in the name of Jesus Christ.